We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan, CBS Sports Network and Radio.com. Joining us right now is a man we spoke to last week about the situation in New York City concerning COVID-19 and the response. And he's back with us again, and that's Dr. Matthew Baldwin of Columbia University Irving Medical Center. He is an ICU doctor, is a pulmonary specialist. Doc, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good morning, Gio. Good morning, Boomer.
All right, Doc, we talked to you last week. Can you give us an update of what's going on and whether or not it is as serious as we keep reading in terms of the amount of patients that are showing up to your hospital in particular?
It is as serious as we are reading about. I talked to you on Friday morning. Between Friday and Saturday, we had a large influx of patients. That continued through the weekend. It continues now. I think we had around, a dozen or so patients early last week. We had maybe 40 or 50 by the middle of towards the end of the week. We've now admitted over 200 or close to 200, and I think we have about 50 patients receiving ICU level of care. There was a lot of patients during the swine flu in 2009, and then again in I think 2015, but none of us have ever seen anything like this.
Is your hospital right now equipped to handle it? We're seeing some stories where supplies are running out. How are you guys with all that?
The short answer is we are currently equipped. We're still able to take care of patients. We are running on all cylinders, and I'm really proud of everyone. Like I said, from the housekeeping to the nurses to the respiratory therapists to those of who are on the front lines, and then those of us who rotate off for a couple of days for rest, and then to plan ahead for what's to come.
Doc, are you guys treating anybody with the Plaquenil, Zithromax kind of drug cocktail at this point? This is the hydroxychloroquine. Plaquenil is the brand name for that. And, of course, Zithromax is azithromycin. We've heard so much about this. Have you guys used any of this yet?
Yes, we've been using it from the start. Pulmonary specialist and infectious disease specialist here at Columbia, we got together. And early on, we created treatment guidelines where we are giving that drug to several patients.
And what is the success rate?
I really can't say at this point. There's so many patients that we've been caring for that I'm at a point where we are moving from patient to patient, giving them the best care possible. We still are able to give every patient the care they need, but that is going to have to come out of clinical trials and of experience over time. Right now, what we know is that there's some data. It's not great, but it suggests that this drug might help at least a little bit. And so since when we don't have a patient who has any potential side effects or is going to experience side effects from it, we're giving it.
Yeah, we're saying, well, listen, we don't want anybody to self-medicate. That we're not advocating that, of course. You have to be under a doctor's care, and it has to be in the most serious situations. Fair to say that?
Yes, we're only giving it to patients who are in the hospital who have certain risk factors for getting more sick or patients in the ICU, and we're first making sure that they don't have any problems with their liver and their kidneys through a blood test.
Talking to Dr. Matthew Baldwin of Columbia University Irving Medical Center, an ICU doctor. Are most of the patients that are coming into your ICU still of that same grouping, the underlying illness, the older folks, those with the serious health conditions, or you're starting to see some otherwise healthy people come to your ICU as well?
You know, sadly, we are, is it the vast majority are older adults with underlying health conditions, but, you know, I'm starting to see a number of people in their 30s and in their 40s coming in. We have a number of patients in their 50s as well.
Doc, how many people are suffering from what is a cytokine storm? And explain exactly what that is and how that makes the situation worse.
Yeah, so for reasons we don't completely understand, some people's immune systems are going to react to the virus by releasing a lot of what we call inflammation chemicals, which are called cytokines. And these cytokines can, at certain levels, can help fight the infection and really kind of act like adrenaline for the immune system. Except if you have way too much of it, the body overreacts and the body's organs start to shut down. There are some patients who seem to have very high fevers. If we check the blood test, they have very high levels of this. We see that their hearts might not be pumping as efficiently as they should. For these patients, sometimes we'll need to add extra life support in the form of infusing adrenaline into them to keep their blood pressure up. We are participating in a trial is for a drug called sarilumab, which is essentially to block one of these cytokines, these inflammation chemicals, to see whether that might help patients. But it's still too soon to know whether this works or not.
Is it fair to say that this situation happens in the younger patients, or do you see it happening in all age groups?
We're seeing it happen in all age groups.
Okay.
Is that a reason why the younger, that's one reason clearly why the younger patients are coming into your ICU? Are there other reasons that, or ideas or opinions that you have of otherwise healthy younger 30, 40, 50 year olds are coming into the ICU?
Yeah, so my best guess is that the largest number of people who have been infected by this virus are probably younger people and middle-aged people who are going out every day, who have been working. And I just think even though they may represent the largest proportion of the population that's infected, a small number of them will get sick enough to come to the ICU. And it's hard to say. Maybe some have a little bit of diabetes or heart disease in their middle age. Some don't. And perhaps that's just how the immune system's reacting to the virus. Again, these patients on a population level represent only a sliver of all those younger and middle-aged people who are infected, but we're still seeing them show up, and they consist of probably about a third of our patients to maybe 40% of our patients in ICU.
We're talking to Dr. Matthew Baldwin. He is from the Columbia University Irving Medical Center. His specialties, pulmonology, lungs, breathing disorders. He's on the front line, ICU patients, nurses. In terms of any of your staff, have any of your staff come down with COVID-19?
I can't speak to that because I don't know anyone personally, and I'm not part of the hospital work. Health force and safety. There is a protocol for staff to get tested if they develop symptoms, though. And so we do have a plan if staff develop symptoms for a way to get them tested and for plans for quarantine.
You know, you've been it's kind of enlightening what you've told us about the amount of patients that have now come to your hospital since we talked to you last Friday. All right, if you can look into the future, where do you think we're going to be 2 weeks from now?
Yeah, so let me just expand upon where we are right now. You know, we have filled several of our ICUs with just these patients. And thank goodness we stopped the elective surgeries when we did, and we were able to clear out these ICUs. We have converted some of our operating rooms into intensive care unit rooms for these patients. and we're just starting to fill operating rooms with these patients.
Doc, tell everybody what an ICU room is. What exactly is it, and why is it so important?
Yeah, sure. So most people are probably familiar with a regular hospital room, which might look like the most stripped-down hotel room you've ever seen. An ICU room has space for a ventilator, which is a large machine that is going to be able to breathe for you if you become too sick, to be able to breathe on your own and stay alive. It has a room for several pumps to infuse several types of medication into you. It has screens that can monitor your vital signs continuously. It has storage areas for all sorts of devices, catheters, equipment that we in the ICU need to use for procedures on patients to keep them alive. We need all those things to provide good, high-quality life support, and that's why ICU rooms are so important. And we are running low on them. My concern is that if we continue to see a surge of patients, we will maximize the number. We will fill all the ICU beds we have available. I can't officially speak to how the hospital is preparing, but I know that there's an entire wing which we are considering opening up for ventilated patients that was recently under construction. And I really applaud everyone here for thinking in advance so far ahead and coming up with so many plans for this surge.
So do you believe that the surge continues the next week, 2-3 weeks even? I saw a 14-21 time period laid out by Governor Cuomo saying that that's when he believes the peak of cases would happen. Do you agree with that assessment with what you've seen so far?
Yeah, again, so I'm on the ground, and every day we've seen a lot of patients coming in, and so I agree with them so far. We've even gotten to a point, one of my colleagues who's an expert in mechanical ventilation, Dr. Jeremy Beitler, headed up a protocol where we are doing ventilator sharing now, where we're able to take two patients, if they have similar lung mechanics, and put them both on the same ventilator. This isn't rationing because both patients are getting full support, but it's not ideal care either. But it's something that was developed here, led by him, and it's a way that we're hoping we can buy time over the next 2 weeks as the government gets us more ventilators and starts to open up more hospitals as we fill up our own.
And how about the success rate that you're having with these seriously ill patients with COVID-19 and releasing them from the hospital? And how long is the average stay?
It's a great question, Boomer. I wish I could answer it better. I think I'm going from patient to patient. We're caring for patients. I don't have that data for you. I do know that we are discharging patients who just get admitted to the regular hospital floor on a little bit of oxygen. They get better in a couple of days, and they go home. For the ICU patients, it's been my experience that several of them, especially if they're younger and they're relatively more healthy, that we're maintaining them on a ventilator for many, many days. And so that becomes an issue because that patient is in that room for a long period of time, and it prevents other patients who are getting sick to come in. And so we'll just have to see how this plays out.
Doc, I appreciate the time. I'm not sure if anybody else has a question. I know we had everybody ask questions last time, but if anybody has a question, they could let us know now. We're all in different places, Doc, as we're all in isolation of our own right now. So, Boomer, do you have anything else, or does anybody else have anything else?
You know, I'm good. I think I just want to say thank you to Matt for coming on. I know it's a very, very busy time. He gave us 15 minutes this morning. It's a 15 precious minutes, but I do think your words do resonate with our listeners, and I think hopefully you'll be able to continue to do this with us, keep us up to date. Is there anything that you need, Doc? Is anything that the hospital needs or the hospital system needs? Because we've been reading about different hospitals that are really short on supplies, and we have one nurse that's been reported that she has died from COVID-19. They were wearing trash bags, for God's sake, as protective gear. Is there anything that we can do to help and get a message out?
Yes. So, you know, I feel very lucky to be part of the Columbia NYP system. You know, we have a team of doctors, nurses, and others. We've prepared in advance for one of the largest hospitals in New York. Our resources are deep. We are in uncritical short supply of PPE and N95 masks. And so we are now reusing our N95 masks. We put a surgical mask over the N95 mask when we're going into a room for certain patients who are at high risk for what we call aerosolizing or having the virus go out in the air. And so long as that N95 mask is covered with the surgical mask and it's dry, we're reusing it until it's kind of worn out or kind of moist and wet. You know, that's not what we would usually do in a normal situation, but it's the best way to keep us protected. I think the outpouring of support from people to donate PPE supplies has been much appreciated. I think the idea of even protecting, you know, I live here in New York City. I've just been amazed by the grocery store clerks, you know, who are stocking the shelves for us, who see so many people coming through the grocery store, and they're in harm's way. You know, if you have a stash of PPE supplies, even if it's a simple dust mask, that might actually work. You know, maybe offer that up to them. I think we're all in this together. And the more we work with each other and the more we stay calm and carry on and just do our work every day, you know, I believe we'll persevere through this.
Doc, thanks for the time again. Keep it going. We can't thank you enough for your time and the work that you're doing. And hopefully the next time we talk to you, things will be getting a little bit better. I know we all want some good news and want to be optimistic. And we know that guys like you doing what you're doing are making us feel better about the situation. Thanks, Doctor.
Okay. Hang in there, everyone. Stay safe.
All right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.